and from the iniquity that so easily besets me. Because we're all easily beset about by sin and iniquity, because it's everywhere. It's always calling. It's never been more available in its most pernicious forms, which are, and what are the most destructive forms of sin? Are they the ones that, you know, are the, you know, like murder? No. They're the ones that seem, the ones that are easy to do. The hatred that's easy to carry out because it's anonymous. The lust that's easy to carry out because it's anonymous. You know, like when they have those stories about bullying online and ruining people's reputation, things that people would not do in person, but they'll do in secret. Those are the most pernicious, the secret things, the hidden things of darkness. Those are the most wicked because they're the most destructive. Those are the most destructive because sometimes the things that seem least wicked are the most destructive because we're most willing to do them. You know, the things that are really bad, we don't want to do because we don't want to be seen as being that bad. Like, we don't want to kill somebody. We just want to make them kill themselves. That's much more pernicious, much more destructive, much more wicked in its own way. Because it's much, the wickedness is greater because it's done so much more. Verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Interesting that in the previous one, he also charged him not to tell anybody what he had done about the healing. Testifying more of himself to the apostles than to the people outside. Interesting that the people would say, oh, he's John the Baptist, who'd recently been killed. Or people always look back to the past, even to this day. When they look in the prophecy of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, they're always like, oh, it's going to be Moses and Elijah. People are always looking for people from the past to come and fulfill the roles of our time. You know, the thought that a man of their time would be Messiah. They couldn't say it. So they had to say, oh, he's just like Elijah. He's just like one of, it's like Isaiah's come back again. Oh, look at John the Baptist. He's just like John the Baptist. Yeah, yeah. You think he's the Messiah? No, no. Ah, I don't say that. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let's just not talk about that. So the people, it was something, they were, it was on everyone's tongue, but they were afraid to say it. But not Peter. His disciples knew who he was. But the multitudes, you know, they weren't willing to say. They thought, surely they thought a man of God had come. But what exactly kind of man of God, they were afraid to say. They were certainly not ready to declare him the Messiah. Because they wanted the Messiah would do things. And they were expecting those things to be done. The Messiah was supposed to come and perform certain things. He came at the right time. We know this from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, people always look at the book of Daniel for the future, but I think one of the most interesting things, and when I do the book of Daniel, I will cover this, is that the book of Daniel predicted the exact time when Messiah would appear. Jesus appeared in that time period. He had to appear when he appeared. In fact, I was reading the testimony of one of those really Orthodox Jews from Russia who was really curious about the Messiah and that the Messiah should have come. And he looked in the book of Daniel and he figured out he should have come to like 2,000 years ago and he never heard of Christ. And I don't know if this was a true account or not, honestly, but it seemed true. because there were some elements of it that to me said were true because they were too fantastic to be, like, if you'd make up a story, you'd make it more believable. Like when he went to his parents thought he would have had like crosses tattooed on him because he thought that's the, because the parents held this belief that that was the first thing that the Christians would do to you is tattoo the cross on you or something like that. Because there was a lot of misunderstanding between Christians and Jews among ignorant folk. I mean, the Jews misunderstood the Christians misunderstood the Jews. And being the majority, the Christians usually would do a lot of nasty things to the Jews. And I'm just talking about Christians in the term of a political entity, not in the terms of the true gospel entity of what a Christian really is. But they called themselves Christians. They all had to be Christians because that was the law of the land. I mean, so that's really not a question. But anyways, he went to the book of Daniel and he calculated this. And this can be, it's not a big deal. You know, from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the temple shall be so many years until Messiah. And then you can read about it. And we'll go over that when we do Daniel. But it was prophesied that he had to come in that time. There was an expectation that he would come. And he did come. But they did not receive him. That was also prophesied, but it was not seen clearly. The things they saw clearly were the things that they wanted the Messiah to do. Just like when we look in the book of Revelation, he's going to come, he's going to set up his kingdom, he's going to conquer the wicked, he's going to do all kinds of bold, active, exciting things that we want to see. And that's what they wanted to see Christ when he first came. Not really understanding that that was set up so that they would not receive him in that generation. Not understanding the wisdom of God had hidden these things so that he would be a sacrifice. And we get into that here. He began to teach them, verse 31, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. We know all about this. What did Peter say? And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him to the side and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on the disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was their teaching about what Messiah should be, what Messiah should do. Same thing today. The teachings, the leaven is the things about what they say Jesus is going to do. Jesus is coming. He's going to fly you away. He's going to evacuate everyone out before the time of trouble comes.